Are you ready for a change? Be it physical, mental, or emotional change, you've already got what it takes to make that happen. Your host for the upcoming program, the Matt Newton Power Hour, has trained in martial arts over the course of several decades. Time and time again, his training methods have saved or extended the careers of dozens of NFL, NBA, and Major League Baseball stars. Matt Newton has authored two highly acclaimed books, A Path to Power and The D Factor. The Matt Newton Power Hour starts now. Here's Matt.
Let's do a live radio broadcast. Welcome to the Power Hour. Last week, someone emailed me and said, "Hey, man, you guys are having way too much fun in there." They were kidding, of course, but that's our goal. Not only to educate, inspire, but to have fun at the same time, because every moment that passes is a part of your life. Let's not waste it. Great grandma used to always say, waste not, want not. I don't want to waste a second, especially when I get a chance to spend it summer with the fabulous Natasha in the house. Yes.
Thank you. Hello, everyone.
Sweet. Welcome back, baby.
Nice to be here. Thank you for having me.
Good to have you. We wanted to see what the fabulous Natasha looks like. You know, just go online, macnewton.com, and, you know, check out the shows and see what's up. And of course, the magic man, sometimes we call him Snuggy Bear, he doesn't care because he's warm in that thing. The Zach Meister in the house. Welcome back, man.
Mac. You call me whatever you like as long as you promise to bring me some of that chicken
Some of that chicken. Oh, man. We gotta talk about that chicken a little bit. We gotta talk about that chicken.
That's another hour. You talk about that chicken.
Hey, gang, welcome to the show. We really appreciate you tuning in. We really appreciate you being a fan of the show. We appreciate your emails. Appreciate your comments. We just appreciate you. We're listening to Stevie Wonder back for a redo because we had so much good stuff to talk to our boy John Cannon last week. More on that too. JC, you did it up. Thank you. So we got to bring Stevie back for an encore so that we could do it right to the... you know, the guy who started off Little Stevie Wonder back in, I don't know, 1962 when he first made his first song. We'll talk about it a little bit later. Got a great show on tap for you guys today. Our musical guest host again, not Little, just Stevie Wonder, an icon of music, songwriter, singer, multi-instrumentalist, a child prodigy into an adult prodigy, one of the most creative musical figures of our late 20th century. Make no mistake about it, you are listening to one of the musical giants of today, Stevie Wonder. The lyrics unsurpassed, the melodies and music only really starting to be recognized today. Just one of the true geniuses of our day. We'll talk more about him as we go on. Stevie Wonder, born May 13th, 1950 in Saginaw, Michigan. For those of you who didn't know, of course I did, but we're in the same age group. We're there. We can throw a rock to each other's birthday. Make no doubt about that. And for those of you who didn't know, he was blind at birth and raised in inner city Detroit. So just a skilled musician by the time he was 8 years old. Just natural, gifted, a prodigy right from the world go. We're listening to his music from the album. I think this is Intervisions, and this was Please Don't Go. Is that right there, Magic Man? I think this is Intervisions? I think so. I think so.
We had Fulfillingness.
First finale. Fulfillingness, first finale. There you go. All right. Great show on tap for you guys today. Our early segment, we're going to talk about 110%, whatever that means. And, of course, we're going to certainly talk about our quantum leap. But first, we got to talk about JC. JC, John Cannon, our co-host on the Cox Power Hour. If you want to see what that was like, I think we've got two shows up already. We're getting ready to put up another show or two this upcoming week. It was just a show before its time, JC. That's all I can really say about it. People weren't ready for it, but they really appreciated it. We built an audience that, just like we're building right here on the Power Hour, only we're doing it right now worldwide. We're worldwide, literally. When you get to our shout-outs, and I tell you what we're giving people shout-outs to. So from South Africa to Philippines, you name it. But JC, it was terrific. Being on the show, it didn't really dawn on me to how, you know, the perspective you lent and the feeling in which we conveyed, especially you, until I listened to the show later. Really, really heartfelt, and so many people appreciated that. So thanks for coming on. I really appreciate it. We'll do it again. You said you would do it, and I'm going to hold you to that. So thanks again, my man. We had a great fun with that. It's 71 degrees outside and sunny, and the temperature is going up. I guess we're actually at 71 degrees, actually below normal for Phoenix at this time of the year. How'd it feel outside to you there, Magic Man, coming in?
Well, we had that rain earlier on in the week, and it was actually pretty cold the last few nights. But, once again, it's March, end of March here, and it feels like summertime again. Windows down, nice out.
Yeah, 71, though, for me, the Mac Daddy, a little bit on the chilly side. So I'm not going to brag too much today. It is beautiful. It's sunny out. I'm still waiting for that magic 90. I'm just waiting for that magic 90. Give me a little 90. Give me a little 100. Give me some of that kind of stuff going on. I like that. You know, that's really, but the Mac Daddy line is officially 80. I exhale when it gets over 80. Right now it's 71, 72 degrees outside, but looking beautiful in downtown Phoenix, Arizona. And you know what? You know, each day to me is a gift from God, and I treat it like that. I'm not complaining no matter what the temperature is. So, as I said, great show. And, of course, at this point in time, we didn't last. We got caught up in JC. It was fabulous. Shout-outs coming up. Yes. Start off with Andy in Spain. You know that. Weather's great out there, too. Al in South FLA. Shout me out. Let me know what's up. Alfredo in Mexico, you know. Good seeing you here recently. Oh, Mexico, South Florida, Spain. Kurt in England, out in the UK. Yes. Veronica G, where is she? She's in the Philippines. Wow. Oh, my goodness. Ernest in South Africa. What? Are you crazy? We're all over the world. You got any fans here in the USA? You betcha. How about David Z up in Michigan, Upper Peninsula? Yeah, we got it up there. And right here in the Valley, Larry and Kimmy is making that happen. Got some in the Midwest, too. Barry and Jeff, all the Taekwondo family in Chicago. What up? Gwen Hall, oh, yeah, down in Texas. Always give a shout-out to Gwen Hall. Who is Gwen? Gwen is probably, if not recognized as the highest-ranking female in the international Taekwondo system, should be one of the very first recognized national championship for women held in the world, and I think it was in 1967. It was just 67? Maybe I'm a little early there. I have to check it. I've got to check with Gwen on that at Medina Temple in Chicago. To be recognized, hey, if you don't know, let me pull your coat. Gwen Hall, shout out going your way. And, of course, to my extended family in Denver. I guess we got an email today that, let me just check that out real quick here, that I guess we've got the Theo family coming to Phoenix. I guess Patty is going to be coming in town. The Capondes will not be in, but they'll be in here very, very soon. And certainly they're going to be working out in the house. So, shout outs going over. And, of course, we have a new addition. New addition, Chris C. Chris C. in Phoenix, working out with me online. Working out with me online right here on the Power Hour. And by the way, speaking of that, our online workouts are starting to catch fire. You know what? It's whenever you come with a new product, you never know what's going to happen. You don't know. People, it can be humbling. You know, you do all that work on something and you think it's going to be a great success and nothing happens. You guess where you got to stick with it. Believe in yourself and keep going. And yes, we're starting to, people, you know, you try it. You're going to like it. You go online. You want to work out with me? I don't care where you are. You go online. You know, I know some of you have tried, and we've had a couple problems with bugs and things on there, and, you know, and we're working all that out, so bear with us. So I'll give it another shot, and it's a simple system. In fact, Robert and I were working just yesterday, simplifying the log-on and buying process, and I think we're really getting down to something now that's going to make it easy for you guys to log on and work out with the Mac Daddy online. Check it out. Really nice. And by the way, my video vault is jammed. I mean, it is just absolutely crushed with fun, exciting videos, you know, not just from now and you know, the Power Hours on there, the radio and TV, but also stuff from the past. You want to see me working out with Ralph Sampson? You know, when I say Ralph Sampson worked out in my gym, Bo Jackson worked out in my gym, you want to see these guys? Go online. You want to see it happen? You want to see me work with the A's? You don't believe it? Go online. Okay? You want to see me kick Conseco's butt out there and yell at him? Go online. You'll see it, you know? And you'll see me work with these guys and help them on to careers and tour championships. You want to see me work with the Cubs? Go online. It's there, not just photos, but actual videos to see it happening and interviews. I've got an amazing interview online with a family, the Vandervinders, here in Phoenix, Arizona. 12-year-old guy needed to lose 40 pounds. We took off 40 or 50 pounds. And I think right now he's graduating from Boston College or something. And I mean, this guy, I mean, he's just changed his whole life. There's also an interesting video on there about Ike Austin. You may remember him. He went to ASU. Do you remember him? Magic Man, a center at age, had a weight problem, had a serious weight problem, and went to Europe for a year or two, played in some semi-professional leagues, and got a feeler from Pat Riley down in Miami. But at the time, he was 80 pounds overweight, and he had, the tryout was set in 3 months. I had to get him basketball ready, 80 pounds thinner and functional in 80 pounds. Did it. Go online, figure out why. Did it. Of course we did it. That's what we do. Okay, so check it out. It's jammed with really, really good stuff. It is now exactly, I think it's 15 minutes past the hour. You're right? Okay. We're exactly 15 minutes past the hour here for my water was blocking the clock there. I couldn't see it for a moment. 15 minutes past the hour. My name is Mac Newton. You are tuned into the Power Hour. We do it every Thursday right here at 5 o'clock on the nose. And then it is uploaded by some magical thing that happens in the internet. I mean, I have no idea how electronical stuff works. I mean, you know, I was talking, you know, with someone, I think it was John Lang this week, you know, because my phone, I don't know about your phone. You know, Natasha, your phone. You know, your phone. You can take, I mean, how many pictures though? Like 2,000 pictures? Does it 2,000, something like that, right?
Yeah, probably easy. I mean, you know, a lot with the smartphones now, it just depends on the capacity, like a 32 gig or 64 gigabyte phone.
Gigabytes, gigabytes,
thousands, absolutely.
Yeah, and what you got is you got this little square thing about the size of your thumbnail. And you can hold 2,000 pictures, 3,000 pictures on it. What is that? How does that happen? I mean, you take a picture, what happens to that thing? I mean, I have no idea what it works. So you want me to explain the internet? Are you kidding? All I'm saying is it's going to be uploaded. And I'm going to say it just like I know what happens. I have no clue. I don't know the difference between uploaded and downloaded. I really don't. Okay? Upload, download, sideways load. It's loaded is all I know. Okay? That's all I know. Okay? You probably think I'm loaded right now. I'm not. But... It's all there. So anyway, welcome to the show, gang. All right, let's talk about this chicken for just a second.
Oh boy.
Now, you know, last night I left class and you know, I've had this restaurant called Mac Daddy's, and people are wondering, Mac, are you going to do that thing again? I don't know if we're going to do that or not again. You never know. But they said, well, what is, just, okay, what is the Mac Daddy going to have for dinner tonight? And just so happens, you know, I was going to go home, and I was going to deep fry up a batch of chicken, some deep fried chicken. And people said, oh, that's not healthy. What are you talking about? Of course it is. Now, you're thinking about where I'm going to put a bunch of sloppy batter and, you know, a bunch of white flour and a bunch of bread crumbs and stuff like that, and maybe fry it in animal fat or something. Come on, come into the, you know, 21st century, for goodness sakes. No, I'm going to fry that in soy oil. And of course, I'm going to put a coating of the special Mac Daddy seasonings on that, which is a combination primarily of some of the chipotle spices with some cayenne pepper, some black pepper. Is it good?
That's more than good. Good would not describe it.
What did you say about it earlier? You said it was what now? What did you say it was?
When Zach asked me how was the chicken last night, I said, that was a piece of heaven. Very crispy.
Oh, yeah.
Very spicy.
I can hardly take this.
Oh, yeah. And so juicy inside. Pure juice. Yeah. It's just pure. There's no fat on it. Oh. No. Nothing. No bread. It's delicious.
Just crispy. So I just, you see, if you got to have a deep fryer at home, you know, and then they got several portable deep fryers out there. Excellent. You know, I got one of the Krugs. And I usually do it at about 355, 360. I like to cook it a little bit hotter. And you cook it for about 15 minutes, which really cooks it all the way through, seals in the juices, really juicy. Juices running clear. It's not bloody. It's clear. Cooked all the way through to the bone. Nothing makes me sicker than biting into a piece of chicken and seeing it red on the bone, knowing it's undercooked chicken. It's like I go, puh, I can't stand that. So when you cook it about 14, 15 minutes at about 360, 365, it's going to be not over tender, crispy on the outside, and flavorful, but with a little extra spice because of the jalapeno. You know, the jalapeno spices and the black pepper. Oh, my goodness gracious. So we had that along with a tomato salad. I had some asparagus, and Natasha had
broccoli.
And, of course, we had that fabulous tomato salad, tomato and basil with a little lemon and black pepper. And our normal fruit salad was unbelievable. You know, we didn't even eat it all. We had four pieces left. We could have brought you some, Zach. I wasn't even thinking about that. Oh, man. Okay, well, you know, it's a thought. You know, it's a thought. We could get to that.
That's funny that you said normal fruit salad, honey. That's not normal fruit salad.
I understand. I understand.
It's
that,
very unusual, but very healthy and very delicious.
We roll just like that. Okay, Kay, welcome to the show. You okay over there, Zach?
Yes, sir. Okay. Definitely much hungrier again.
All right. Fry you up some of that chicken thighs. Leave the skin on it, man. That's where the fat is. That's where the flavor is. That's where the taste is. Yes. All right? Yeah. Okay. I want to talk for a second today about my early segment. As I said, it's about this 110%. And I had a guy in the other day in my office, and he said, I'm going to work hard for you. And I just, he was just trying to convince me too much that he was serious. And I was a little bit uncomfortable right from the start. He was, I'm going to be the hardest worker you have. I'm going to give it 110%. So I stopped him. I said, there's no such thing as 110%. He said, yeah, there is. That's just going beyond what you're capable to do. I said, you can't do that. There's no such thing. There's only 100%. I mean, I think that people that say 110% are basically insincere. Basically, they're making an excuse for their eventual failure, and they know it in advance. There's no such thing as 110%. You know what? All there is 100%. To me, when you do 100%, you're doing whatever it takes. WIT, whatever it takes. That's 100%. People who give it their best shot, that's not 100%. That's usually somewhere between zero and none. When so I'm gonna give it my best shot. Your best shot, that's like someone saying to me they're gonna try. They're explaining to me that they're gonna fail in the beginning, but I can't come back at them because They didn't say they do it. They said they give it their best shot, and that was my best shot. So those of you who are listening to me, just remember the last time someone said they were going to give it their best shot. Were they successful? No, they weren't. And you just felt helpless because you're looking and say, oh, I gave it my best shot. Well, you know what I always say? If that's all you've got to give me, I'm not interested. You do whatever it takes. Now I'll get a sincere effort. That'll be 100%. Giving you your best shot is usually between zero and none. And there is no 110%. That's just a sign of insincerity and someone who's trying to make you think they're going to do a good job when in fact they're not. Okay, so make sure you look out for that. That's just a sign of insincerity of purpose, weakness of character, and I'm going to give 110% because that does not exist. All right? Doesn't work. And you hear it all the time, and you look at that person, and then, of course, later on, they eventually fail, which they told you they're going to do up front. Okay? Now, along that line, when we're talking about doing whatever it takes, I've known for a long time that I was put on this earth to succeed. And I think that every person who is successful, I think they know what they have inside of them. I think they know about their possibilities for success. I mean, even when I was homeless and I was living on the streets, I knew I had something special inside of me. And I just felt that if I could just get off of my duff, if I could be inspired enough to get off of my rump and quit making excuses, that I would eventually succeed. That was the only thing holding me back, is my buying into my own lies. We got to stop making excuses and believing our own lies. I mean, and because I knew I would eventually succeed, if I stopped doing that, the way I feel right now, I don't have to apologize to anyone for being a success right now. Because I actually have an obligation, a responsibility to be my absolute best. I feel that if the Creator puts in you these possibilities, it is your obligation and your responsibility to fulfill that. This great grandma used to say, we're God's TV. It's to God's grace we become everything that we can by whatever name you call the Creator. And I believe that. And I believe it. I believe it. I believe I actually have that ability, okay? And I have that responsibility, and I'll never explain it. I think that I was designed by God for excellence. I was designed for excellence. But because I believed some of the things that people said to me, things like, you'll never amount to anything. You were a mistake. You weren't even supposed to be here. When things like that are said to you by people you look up to, sometimes it's very, very hard to avoid making that prognostication become true. It's hard to make that not be a reality. But it can be overcome. It is a very, very difficult adversary, but it's not invincible. You can overcome it. You can overcome it with belief and effort and goal setting and tenacity. When you believe in yourself, I believed and I knew I would be a success because I was designed for excellence. However, my believing this negativity by other people programmed me for failure and mediocrity. By believing the things that other people, now get this, I was engineered, designed for excellence, designed to be successful. However, I was programmed for failure because I was believing things that people, you never finish what you start. You're not good enough. You're too short. You're too tall. You're the wrong color. You speak with a funny accent. You're not from around here, are you? I mean, you know, all these things that say to you, you're not good enough. And once you believe that, that's your programming, you see? And that programming will override the engineering. But once you establish new programming that comes from inside of you, when you choose success, and it is just that, it's your choice. It is success. It's your choice, okay? It is your choice. Now, What is the difference? What is the difference between a winner and a loser? What is the difference between someone who makes these choices that take you into the fast lane and someone that allows themselves to be pulled, slid into the slow lane? What's the difference between a winner and a loser? What's the difference between a success and a failure? What's the difference between the person I am now and the person I was 20 years ago or 25 years ago? What's the difference? What's the difference between a sinner and a saint? Well, I think the power of changing one's life comes down to having the power of changing your words. The power of changing your words that define who you are. Emerson said, it's as easy to be great as it is to be small. Winners say, what can I do about it? Losers say, there's nothing that we can do about it. It's the way we've always done it around here, and it's not my fault. It's not my fault. Winners say, what can we do about it? Losers say, it's not my fault. Winners say, there's a better way. Losers say, that's the way we've always done it. So what's the difference between a winner and a loser? The words you use. What's the difference between a sinner and a saint? The words you use. And the words you use are always a choice. So when you say, I'm responsible, I can do it. Or you can say, it's not my fault, I had nothing to do with it. There you go. You've established whether you're the winner and the loser, whether you're success or the failure, whether you're the sinner or the saint, by the words you use. Be careful. Remember, your language should always be conscious. You should be conscious of those words you use, because those words framework your choices. All right. And finally, as we talk about 110%, the biggest roadblock to our success in life, the four letters, F-E-A-R, fear. That is the biggest roadblock. Don't be confused about this, gang. Don't be confused. Fear is the biggest roadblock to success in adult life. Nothing else even comes close. If fear is a 10, the closest competitor is a 1. Fear, whatever your mind focuses on, eventually will appear in your reality. As an acronym, FEAR, F-E-A-R, stands for Fantasize Experiences Appearing Real. Holocaust survivor Viktor Frankl said, fear makes come true which one is afraid of. Whatever it is that you're afraid of, fear makes it a reality. It's biblical. That I feared the most has become my reality. That I have feared the most has befallen me. It's like the law of attraction at work in your life. Focus on your dreams. Focus on your passions. Don't be afraid. If you want to be afraid of something, be afraid of living your life and dying before everything you're capable of is not happening. Be afraid of that, because that's what moved me on. I was laying on the corner of 32nd Street and Campbell in Central Phoenix in the middle of a downpour rainstorm in a dank August night, having run into a drainage ditch and fallen off of my bike and hit my head on the sidewalk. I'm sitting there with a separated shoulder and bleeding a forehead, and cars are going down 32nd Street, splashing water on me, literally. And the driver's actually looking me in the eye, splashing water and rocks, and I looked there in the gutter, literally, wondering what all the little kids that I taught Taekwondo to would think of me if they could see me now. What would my great-grandma think of me if she saw me in that situation? What about my mother, who died at 15? The only thing she did was give birth to me. What would she feel seeing me there? Oh, man. If it's going to be, it's up to me. Has changed your thinking. Change your thinking. If it's going to be, it's up to me. And I had to come up from there. Focus on what you want. Don't focus on your fear. And that's what I thought of that night. I thought that night, oh my goodness, if I don't do something, I'm going to pass away. And all the things I was capable of, all that success that I felt was inside of me, will never ever manifest. All of it will never be. If you want to be afraid of something, be afraid of that. Otherwise, focus on what you want. Little Stevie Wonder. Oh, I'm sorry. I meant a little Stevie Wonder, not little Stevie Wonder. We can get caught up in that, right? Hey, gang, I'm Mac Noon. You're listening to The Power Hour. You like this show? And I know you do by your comments and your emails. You like this show. Tell your friends about the show. Tell your friends so they'll listen in. We want to be worldwide, all the way up to the top of the trees. We want everyone to get into that feeling of we can be collectively anything we want to be. We can change the world. We can make the world stand up and listen to our voices. We don't have to be the victim of other people's ideas. We can collectively come to better together and demand what is truly ours. In the meantime, let's focus on becoming everything you can be. My name is Mac Newton. The fabulous Natasha is in the house. This is the Power Hour. The magic man is making it all happen. Right now, he's getting ready to take us to break. It is now 31 minutes past the hour. We will be right back. You guys, don't go anywhere.
Hi everyone, this is Zach Geist, also known as the Magic Man. The Power Hour is brought to you by Newton Fitness Online, the same high conditioning and training that Mac Newton provides in his beautiful Central Phoenix, Arizona location is now available to you online, 24 hours a day. It couldn't be easier. Just log on to MacNewton.com and go to Mac's gym. Yep, his gym is online now. Just go and select your fitness level and go to class. Okay, don't put it off. Go to MacNewton.com now, check it out, and get in the best shape of your life.
Judkins. Stevie Wonder. Okay. Or Steve Lynn Morris. He went by both. Born in 1950 in Saginaw, Michigan. A true American genius. A skilled musician by the age of 8. And you know who first called him Little Stevie Wonder? Berry Gordy, the president of Motown. He was the president of Motown Records. And it was kind of interesting because he was raised in the inner city of Detroit. He actually knew several members of different singing groups in the Miracles with Smokey Robinson. He knew one of the members of that group, Ronnie White. And Ronnie White introduced Steve Lynn Morris, or Steve Lynn Judkins, to Berry Gordy. And Berry Gordy saw one performance, a cappella, and a harmonica, and said, "You are a wonder. You are a little Stevie Wonder." And that was it.
Oh, wow.
That's how it happened, just like that. He made his recording debut at age 12. Just high-pitched singing and that frantic harmonica playing that no one ever taught him how to play. He just kind of knew it. I mean, that sort of characterized most of his earlier recordings. especially when he did Fingertips. I don't have it right here, but I got it someplace. One day we'll play that for you. Fingertips Part 2, which was recorded live, by the way, during a set at the Chicago Regal Theater, which I have spent many afternoons watching the Temptations and the Four Tops perform on the south side of Chicago with Lil Stevie Wonder and Lil Skinny Jeans. They didn't call them skinny jeans in those bands, but in those days, but that's what they were. Yeah, I'm just taking you back a little bit.
It must have been awesome performance.
It was awesome. Awesome. You saw the Miracles. You'd see four or five groups in one afternoon for a buck and a half.
Seeing history.
We never knew that at the time, but it was right there. He did an unbelievably almost freakish imitation of Ray Charles back in the day when he was 15. I remember him coming on stage and sitting down at the piano, which, by the way, he learned by himself. And just imitating Ray Charles down to just perfectly, and the audiences just were blown away on what his performances on the piano and the harmonica. Give us something else on there. Just go down. Give us something else down there. You know, I don't care where you get it from. His harmonica performances. And for those of you who don't know, he also played the drums. I think it was in around the mid-60s. He said, "I'm not little anymore. Just call me Stevie Wonder." And then he started writing all of his songs. We knew he was going to be a star because Smokey Robinson, the writers for the Temptations, he started collaborating with them. With Smokey Robinson, "The Tears of a Clown," one of the biggest hits for the Miracles, co-written by Stevie Wonder. So anyway, when you look at all the hits he made in "My Sharia Moore," "I Was Made to Love Her," I mean, "For Once in My Life," just "Music of My Mind," "What's Going On," I mean, just, I could go on and on and on. Stevie Wonder, our co-host today. I hope you go out. If you don't have some of that music, you're just not a part of history. I know you got it, JC. But just to throw a couple more out at you, "You Are the Sunshine of My Life," "Higher Ground," "Living for the City," "Don't You Worry About a Thing," and who can forget "Boogie On," "Reggae Woman." We got it right here. Cue it up for us, Magic Man. "Sir Duke, I Wish," some others there. And "Boogie On," "Reggae Woman," which I guarantee you right now, the Magic Man is going to hit up for you right now. Right there. Ah.
Funky.
Yeah, on "Reggae Woman." Now, what brought him into it, what has made him timeless, is how Stevie Wonder just bought into all the electronic. He didn't stay, you know, mired in the past. And just like right now, we're listening to the more electronic sound.
Sounds almost like Parliament or something like that.
Oh,
yeah,
well, you know,
that.
Just a little funky. Yeah. And you know what? As we came into 2000, it seemed like all the singers wanted to sound like Stevie Wonder. You know, KC, JoJo, they all wanted to sound like Stevie Wonder. Anyway, our musical guest host today. We didn't do it any justice last week. But Steveland, did we make up for it, my man? Yeah, we did, brother. Okay. All right, Stevie Wonder, our musical guest host, and last week we had to spend time talking with my man, JC. Okay, we're back to talk about the quantum leap. All the things we were talking about before the break. In other words, you know, becoming your best, knowing inside that you have greatness, knowing that you have the potential for success. But we want to bring it about right away. I remember when it was 1992 or the end of 1990. It was in the early 90s when I was summoned to Chicago to talk and meet Bo Jackson. I'd met Bo Jackson before because I was a conditioning coach at Oakland A's, and he was a player for the Kansas City Royals. I'd met him in passing. We'd not had a conversation. I didn't know him personally. He had no reason to talk to me. But we would acknowledge one another in passing. But there in the early 90s, he had hurt his hip. And people thought his career was over. But some people had heard of my work, the things I had done, and what I had done for myself, and gone back to compete at a high level in Taekwondo with an artificial hip. They had seen with my work with Neil Lomax, the quarterback the gentleman, an incredible man, Neil Lomax, by the way, who had a successful return from hip replacement surgery. And they wanted to know if there was a possibility that Bo Jackson could play baseball with an artificial hip. And so they brought me to Chicago to meet him. And one of the questions is, how long would it take for you to get him from where he is right now on crutches, the man you're looking at, to running and sliding on the bases? Can he be ready from this fall or late summer for spring training next year? I said, how long do we have? We have about 7 months. Do we have every day of that 7 months? Yes. Now you got to understand, it had taken me almost 2.5 years to rehabilitate myself the very first time. It took me well over a year to bring Neil Lomax back to 100%. I only had 7 months for Bo. I had to make a quantum leap. I had to do it even better in a shorter amount of time. And I had just finished a book, Taking a Quantum Leap by Fred Allen Wolf. I had to read the book twice because it was very, very technical. And from that book, I came up with 8 points that I'm going to share with you today about how to make a quantum leap. Now, I'm going to share with you the genesis, the beginning of this, and we're going to enhance each one of these steps in the coming weeks. But I'm going to get all 8 steps down with you today, and then we're going to enhance each one of them over the next few weeks. Stephen Covey said, if we keep doing what we're doing, we're going to keep getting what we're getting. Is that all you want out of life? I mean, from this moment forward, to just keep getting just more of what you got already? Zach, tell me the truth. Is that really what you want? Really?
Always ready for change.
No.
Welcome it.
Just tell me, is that what you want for the rest of your life? Just more of what you've got right now?
Absolutely not.
No. How about you, Natasha?
No.
No. Simply put, and I'll tell you right now, not at all. I look at the life I lead right now, even though I couldn't have even imagined this life 30 years ago, I look at this life as a launching pad to the best days of my life are in front of me. And in order for me to do it, I had to understand this concept of doing faster. So anyway, what I said to him, and I had 7 months, you know what I said that day in that meeting room with Bo standing there? I said, if that's the case, I'll only need 6. That's exactly right. I'll only need 6. And they smiled, and I said, I have to get back to the airport. I got a plane to catch. You guys can make up your mind. Bo was here 3 days later. The rest is history. Hit a home run first at bat, coming back. Played for 2 straight years, never missed a day. Never spent a day on a disabled list, was not hurt. He promised his mother on her deathbed. She wanted him to come back and play baseball. He said, I will. And he did. And he didn't just do it. Did well. It's all a matter of record. Let me ask you a question, King. Zach, you ever seen a fly trapped in a window? Have you?
Yes, sir.
Sure you have. The fly wants out. Instinct, 100% instinct, is encouraging the fly to break through that glass because it's trying to get outside. It can see the outside. It can see the sky. It can see the trees. It's trying to break through the glass. As you watch it, do you think it'll ever do it?
Just keeps buzzing right back into the window.
Won't break on it, will it? It keeps going. It's never going to get through the window.
Eventually just ends up down on the windowsill.
In the dust with all the other fly carcasses down there. That's exactly where it ends up. But you know, the example I just gave you is exactly what most people do with their lives. Rather than change their lives and do things differently, they keep trying to do it maybe harder, the same thing, rather than doing something differently. Now, if we look on the other side of that window, maybe across the room, the door is open. The door is open to the outside. 5 seconds of effortless flight, and the fly could fly out the door. But as we look at it, we know that there's nothing in the mind of that fly, if it has a mind at all, which I don't think it does. unless I direct that fly, that fly is going to die right there in that window instead of turning around and going 180 degrees in the opposite direction. And certainly that's what we must do sometimes. We've got to be able to consider that. But like the fly, we keep butting our heads against the same old obstacles. The same old obstacles over and over again. The same ones. Just like the fly. But we're a lot smarter than the fly. Supposedly, we work harder and faster at the same jobs. The same toxic relationships. Even though they're not producing any results. At least not the ones we want. The harder you work at doing things the same old way, the faster you approach burnout. It happens in relationships as well as jobs. No matter how hard you try, things don't get better. And unless you can acquire a new vision, a new mindset, a new way of forging ahead, you're going to either end up sick from all the stress. You're going to be addicted to all forms of escape, whether it's a drug or alcohol or sex. You're going to be addicted to all forms of escape, trying to get away from your life. Or you just may live a life of extended mediocrity. So how do you acquire the new vision? How do you get that new mindset? Well, the study of quantum mechanics that I read about in this book, Taking the Quantum Leap by Fred Allen Wolf, it taught me a way to make mind-boggling leaps from where I am to a point several steps ahead, very simply and very easily. It's mind-boggling that allows me to make these leaps in functioning and performance that people would say is impossible. I mean, the relationship between your mind and physical matter is no longer a matter of just new age conjecture. No, not at all. Quantum science, quantum physicians who study this have reached some amazing conclusions about their study of the atom. They have discovered that atomic particles can change when they are observed, and they actually will behave in a manner expected by the observer. That the particles respond to the mind of the person, to the expectation of the person who's observing. These implications are astounding, at least on our lives. I mean, if the human intellect can impact the structures of the atom, then human awareness and the workings of the universe, they must be somehow linked together. And quantum physics has shown me, and it's demonstrated, that the universe doesn't work like a machine. It is influenced and changed by our minds that knows how to work in harmony with it. Once we get our mind in harmony with the universe, with the things we want and the natural talents we already have, we're going to be so much more effective. All right. I'm going to come back to that right there next week, talk more about it. I want to go now to point number one. Okay? Point number one. Step number one that we need to do in order to take advantage of this quantum science. It is now 50 minutes past the hour. I'm Mac Newton. This is the Power Hour. Fred Allen Wolf describes in his book, Taking the Quantum Leap, he refers to them as venturing into uncharted territory with no guide to follow. So that means it's going to take courage. Now, there are three steps necessary before I can get you into point number one. Three steps. Got to write them down. Three steps are necessary to allow a quantum leap to happen. Number one, you need an aiming point. You got to have a goal. When Tony La Russa first came with the Oakland A's, the first thing he did was change the goal. He says, we're not going to try to have a good team. Our goal is to win the World Series. The first step to making an aiming point, win the World Series.
And they did.
Yes. Number two, get started. Take action. Even if the details of how you're going to reach the girl goals aren't apparent yet. We can't spend all of our time waiting for everything to become apparent. In other words, we got to make our move before we're ready. Number one, have an aiming point. Number two, take action, get started. And number three, learn from your mistakes, because you're going to make plenty of them. Learn from your mistake from Jump Street and continue the pursuit. Okay. All right. Those are our three steps. Quantum leaps require you to make an abrupt change in your behavior as well as your thinking. Don't continue. In other words, okay, gang, listen to me. You can't change your thinking the way you're thinking. We got to change our thinking first before we can think differently. So you got to start thinking this way. Start thinking more paradoxically, and I'm going to tell you how to do that. Here are 8 ways to change your thinking. These are the 8 ways to coax your brain into a quantum leap. Number one, quit trying harder. Quit just trying harder. It's not the answer. Like the fly, you can't make a quantum leap by simply doing more of the same. Okay? To persevere is a term. It means to persevere in performing an action even when it no longer produces a desired result. When it no longer when I say I want to persevere, only I want to persevere if my action is taking me toward my desired result. If it doesn't, and I continue to persevere, the word becomes a little different. It becomes perseveriate. Now I'm persevering, but it's not a positive persevering. I'm continuing to do something that is not producing positive results. Zach, are you with me? Are you with me on that now? Okay, good. You have a lot of faith in the familiar, even if it's not working for you. If you follow the same behavioral patterns over and over, you'll get better and better at doing what you've always done. And I'm not arguing against self-discipline at all. Don't get me wrong. But generally, you'll find that trying harder the same old way only produces incremental gains at best. It's like driving your car faster and faster in first gear. How far are you going to get with that?
Going to blow out your clutch.
Or your engine, or both. Absolutely right. You got to shift gears. And so that example right there is truly correct. Shift gears. We need to shift gears right now. Quit trying just harder. Just quit trying harder. Because if we're persevering, but our persevering is not producing the desired result, it's not perseverance anymore. It's perseveriate, which is a negative perseverance. And people are confused about that. All right. Okay. All right. Now, to help your thinking, to help your brain change your thinking, here's what I want you to do. These three things will inspire quantum thinking. These three steps. Okay. Think through the possibilities. Think through all the possibilities. Consciously work at your problem. Number two, research it. Research it. Talk to others. Learn new information. And number three, ask for an answer. Expect a breakthrough. Expect a breakthrough. Your intuitive right brain will begin reorganizing all this information from thinking through the possibilities and talking to others and researching. It will do all of that. And out of it, a flash of inspiration will certainly arrive in your brain right out of the blue. It's intuitive, but it will come. It may take some time, but it will come. All right. We got about 5 minutes or so, but I got time for a couple more. I thought I got all 8, but we won't. So we're going to pick up a little bit more every week and work our way through this so that you really get a good understanding of all 8 steps. Okay? So we're going to give you more of each one all the time. Because, like I said, you can't change your thinking the way you're thinking. So this is to change how you think. And once you start thinking this way, now we can change what you do. Number 2. Adopt risky behavior appropriately. Adopt appropriate risky behavior. Make no mistake about it. Quantum leaps require risk. You can't steal second base with your foot standing firmly on first. You got to take your foot off. You can't stay behind cover all the time and not expose yourself and still make a quantum leap. Something is always at risk. Something is always at stake in life. All you can do is decide which risk that you are willing to take. If you risk nothing, it's the surest way of losing, in my opinion. You'll never learn who you are. You will never stretch or reach. In the end, you'll become timid. You'll become motionless. You'll become afraid. You'll become rigid. You'll become a victim. Risk is scary as hell. It's as scary as all get out. It really is. Sometimes it means letting go of everything that's always been near and dear to you. It means letting go of everything that you've already got to take a leap into an unknown. Because that's what it means. Remember I told you? Taking a quantum leap means going into uncharted territory with no guide to follow. When you break out of your normal behavioral pattern, it's like you deliberately destabilize yourself. And that sign means that's good. When you feel a little anxious, you got a little inner chaos, you get a little confusion, you feel a little clumsy, you feel a little awkward, you feel at risk, that means you're taking the right move. A high comfort level provides very solid evidence that you're playing it way too safe. If you're experiencing no pain, no difficulty, you're probably aiming too low. I mean, you may make some progress, gradual, but you're not going to make a breakthrough. I mean, a quantum leap is characterized by moving several steps ahead with an elegant solution, a simple solution that solves this issue. That's what a quantum leap is. So, if you're experiencing no pain or no difficulty, you're aiming too low. So, let's say you don't make the leap. Let's say you decide to stay where you are. What are your risks then? What is your risk? Will you really get all that life has to offer? Will you really be able to answer the question, could I have been a contender? What could my life have been? Will you be on the other end looking back and saying, what if? Yeah, if you don't make the leap. That's what you risk if you don't make that leap. I mean, will you only get a fraction out of life has to offer? Yes. Will you have a mediocre life of unfulfilled potential? Quite possibly. Come on. Let's get out of that personal safety zone. Let's test the odds. Let's find out what you're up against. I'm not telling you to turn your life into some sort of gambling match, a crapshoot. Absolutely not. I said appropriate. Appropriate risky behavior. You don't need to be reckless. You don't need to be careless. No. I'm not using those words. Don't say it. Max said be reckless and careless. I didn't say that. I said adopt appropriate risks. But I said analyze it. See it. Research it. Make your move. Where's the carelessness? Where's the recklessness? It's not there. A quantum leap is a move you've been ready to make for a long time. You just haven't made it yet. You know what's been keeping you back? I talked about it in my early segment. What's been holding you back? Zach, what's been holding everyone back? What's been holding everyone back from making that quantum leap? I talked about it. I said the word. What is it? Natasha, what's the word? What's the word that I said?
Fear.
You got it. There's no question. Don't ask it with a question mark. It's the greatest single obstacle to success in adult human life. If it's something you're capable of doing right now, you haven't done it yet, why haven't you done it already? Because you're afraid?
I was afraid I was going to have the wrong answer.
That's exactly right. That's why you said it the way you did. Fear holds us back. Another example. It's the only thing. And what's the worst thing that could happen? You'd have been wrong. So what? Being wrong is only another opportunity to learn more and be right. Or be more effective. That's all it is. And we're afraid of that. No, don't be reckless. Just be determined and be committed to make a change. Okay, I'm going to go take us into overtime right now, and I'm going to challenge your luggage. It's now exactly 6 o'clock, straight up. Number three, I have to stop at a good place. Number three, to change our thinking, I want to give you something to be working on until next week. Number three, challenge logic. You see, Western culture relies heavily on logical reasoning and analysis. We do it because it's logical. But you know, all the great advances and some of the most amazing advances in science and education, technology, has happened because of intuition, intuitive responses. I just knew. Natasha said earlier, sometimes I just know when I go there, things are going to happen. I just know it. Today's the day. I just know it. It's intuitive. And I do. I go there. And then there it is. And I'm surprised how often it works. You just said that to me today. In school, we are taught almost exclusively to think in a logical, linear fashion. We are taught to draw conclusions with words and numbers based on what we can see, what we can hear, and what we can touch. We describe a person who doesn't agree with our obvious logical conclusions. We describe that person as irrational. But as I just said, in my world, the world of quantum leaps, the world of moving ahead in leaps and bounds, because I didn't want it to take 2 years to get Bo back on the field. I didn't have that option. But I had to do a better job than ever before because it was on a national screen. Everyone was looking at us. The whole world. I've got a cabinet full, literally folders full of letters from doctors around the world calling me irresponsible and careless but if for encouraging people that someone could play baseball with an artificial hip. I have not heard from them since. Intuition and gut feelings are also very accurate guides to knowledge. Neurological research has shown that your brain is bilateral and it can make very effective use of both forms of observation, what we can see, hear, and touch, and what we feel and what we have an intuition about. I think this is called, I mean, in my way, I consider it a holistic combination of logic and intuition. And I think this is the road to personal knowledge and strength, to be in touch with both. However, because we've been so thoroughly trained in the logical or the rational approach to solutions, our brain needs a tune-up. It needs a workout in the illogical right brain. Okay, I'm going to leave you right there, game. It's now 5 minutes past the hour of six. Okay. I hope I got you fired up as I am. Our man. Yes. Mr. Steve Land Morris. Stevie Wonder. I hope you've got a new appreciation for his talent today, as I do. Most surely. Hey, gang, I'm Mac Newton. And this is the Power Hour. Yeah, this is what we do. If you weren't sure, this is what we do. And we do it every Thursday right here. We have fun. But we know when to get serious, too. And see if we can say something that's going to help you get into the fast track. You know, gang, this is your real life. It's not a rehearsal. As far as I know. If there's going to be another one after this one, this is one that counts. We got to build on this one. Hey. What'd you ask me before the start of the show, Zach? What'd you say? You asked me a question. You said something about, what'd you say?
I'm trying to recall, right when before we started?
Yes, right before we started, Zach. You asked me a question. I said, well, we can't always determine how long we're going to live, but we can only determine how well we're going to live.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, we can't do that, gang. It's not about how long you're going to live. Not at all. It's not that about that. But, you know, it's about how well you live. It's about the footprints you leave. If you haven't done it yet, get started. Our great-grandma always said to me, the good Lord doesn't build a stairway leading nowhere. And she said, boy, you're a stairwell. You're a stairway. And you're going someplace. It took me a few decades, to really get my head around that. But it's very, very true. Blind, born blind at birth, a musical genius by age. Hey, gang, I'm going to close by saying I want you guys to be good to yourselves. Save your best behavior for those who rely on you, those who love you, not just for strangers. Be true to yourself. Let your words and your behaviors match, even when it's real hard, even when no one's looking. Let your thoughts and your actions be the same. Hey, JC, thanks for being part of my world, brother. I appreciate you more than you'll ever know. JB, we still miss you. Bob Adlock, good to talk to you, my man. Pat McMahon, thanks for all you do. The fabulous Natasha, give it up in the house, yeah. And Zach, the Magic Man, you welcome, baby. The Magic Man, thanks for making it all happen. My name's Mac Newton. Peace. 3, 2, 1. The Mac Daddy is out.